Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ today. I always like to eavesdrop on your communications just before we start the call, so I'm sorry about that. I just kind of like to hear what's on your mind. And I think I'm going to run the risk of starting our session today by asking you the same question. But let's don't go into too many issues with the world. I'd like to know where your heart is, where you're, what your thoughts are going toward, and what do you need? What do you need from God? What kind of blessing would you like to see in the world to your friends, your loved ones, your family, and yourself? So let's just enter this session today by expressing the love in our heart, the caring that we have from our soul about lifting ourselves and someone else up from whatever troubles may be pressing on them. We have all kinds of troubles. We have physical pains. And I have a friend today that has just gone through a critical surgery, and he's in terrible pain right now. It caused me to think about the times I've known pain, and not just physical, but emotional, and even spiritual, when I felt really lost from answers, what to do, where to go. There's a lot of pain in the world, but let's don't perpetuate it by weaving stories around it or adding conflict to it. Let's just acknowledge it with love and with tenderness in our heart, and request that God's grace may be put upon it and all who are in pain may be lifted above it. We have actually been told by the apostles and many masters of the Far East that pain is unavoidable in this world, but suffering is avoidable. And we contribute to our suffering. I'm not saying that we go out and write on the blackboard and say, please, God, let me suffer. And no one would do that. Well, I don't say no one. There might be some extremely neurotically challenged people who are doing that sort of thing as a kind of suicide. But no one in their right mind asks for suffering. No one does. But it comes upon us through a lot of forces we don't even really see. It comes upon us partly because we have agreements with the world, with the way the world is. And it's like, well, we're supposed to suffer. No, we're not. No, we're not. Well, if I don't suffer, then people who are suffering will feel bad that I'm acting above them. No, they won't. You'll give them hope. And then we really don't know. We don't realize how much our fear and our resistance and our anger contribute to accelerating pain into suffering. Our grief accelerates pain into suffering. We prolong it. And I would ask for a blessing of revelation to everyone today about the difference between pain and suffering, and possibly new ideas and levels of understanding about how to avert pain as possible, relieve it as much as possible, and lift yourself up from suffering. That would make a tremendous change in the energy of this world. It really, really would. You know, when someone is suffering, it actually gives off a very negative vibe. And here's what it is. Because we feel when we're suffering, something or someone is punishing us. We're being punished for some reason. I can remember when I was a little girl, back in the day, long ago, when little kids still got spankings. Now, my parents were humanitarian spankers. They would switch me on the legs with a little switch, but it still hurt. And you know what I would do as a child? I would accelerate the pain by crying and complaining and throwing a tantrum and making it hurt worse than it would. That little switch probably wouldn't even sting me now at all if I walked through some bushes and they flat back on my legs, really. But I made it a whole lot more painful than it really was. And I'm using that as an illustration of how we need to just rise above and not feel that we have to engage other people in the pain that we have. Some of the pain is serious, terrible pain. Some of it is like the kind of pain we use for accelerating a drama. And I'll give you one more example. When my little grandson was about 4 years old, he was out on the our back patio playing. He had lined up some chairs that he was going to practice running across the top of the chair. Well, he slipped off of one of the chairs. It didn't really. I was looking through our living room window. I was watching everything. He kind of slipped off and bumped his knee, and he looked at his knee and brushed it off, and I could see he hadn't cut anything. He hadn't really even bruised it. It was just something that he bumped on, and he was fine with it, until I went out to check on him, and he burst into the biggest blast of crying ever. I mean, really? Okay. He wanted me to get pulled in to his little pain and disappointment so that we could both agree he was suffering. And actually, I think that we often do that as a way to solicit assistance when we have had a painful setback, when we have had an injury or a loss of some kind. We will dramatize it in order to acquire participation in that pain or in that loss as a dramatization of suffering. Well, my friends, it isn't worth it. It really isn't, because you know why? People who love you are going to help you anyway. I walked out to see about my little grandson because I loved him, not because he was crying. I wanted to see if he had any little bit of hurt feelings or a little bit of mental distress that he had slipped and fallen. You know, grandmothers are like that. And he didn't need to dramatize it to get me out there. But it was an automatic response. And I've never forgotten that, because I know it was meant as a lesson to me from God about the way I do it also. And we can actually take most of our pain down to a tolerable level if we recover from our need to suffer. Now, having said that, I'm not going to ask you to tell me about your suffering. And a lot of what we have pulled into our life from the news, the conflicts in the world, have not actually directly affected us. Not really. But we've allowed it to cause us suffering. Because we think, oh my goodness, what's going on in the world? Oh my goodness, will this affect my loved ones? Oh, how are people hurting this way and that way? And what about nature and the little animals? And until we have literally accelerated our suffering. And then we wonder why. We can't get rid of it. Well, it's because a lot of our suffering, we created ourselves. We put a negative attitude on it. We placed fear on it. We placed anxiety on it and anger. And almost, I would go so far as to say, a fighting attitude. All right, how can I go out and fight this? This is something we've got to stop. We've got to fight. Well, my loved ones, there have been volcanoes in the world ever since there has been humanity. There has been a plague or two ever since there's been humanity. And we've always gotten through it. We always get through it. And fortunately, there's a really good piece of news here, and that is, this is not your permanent home. We don't know exactly why God sent each one of us here, but he sent us here, each with a special ability, a special talent, a special goal, and a unique way of understanding that we could use for lifting the world up to a higher place. And when we succeeded in that, we go home to where our home is. Yeshua talked about that. And he said, look, I'm leaving. I'm getting ready to ship out of this little planet. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And by mansions, he meant places to live. He wasn't actually talking about pink clouded heaven with angels playing harps on it. He was actually talking about places to live, which are built for you, waiting for you, with another goal, another gift of ability. And we need to think about let's take this positive. What are your abilities? What did you come here with? What can you do? And you know, often we overlook our real ability. And I'll tell you another little story from my life that exemplifies that. When I was about 3 years old, I told my mother I was going to be an artist. Well, that came true. But when I was three, I didn't really realize what an artist was a creative person. I didn't limit that to drawing and painting. And actually, neither did my mother. She was a very, very expansive thinking woman. And as I got just a little, well, she did start me with art classes because it was about the easiest kind of art to give a three-year-old girl. Okay, and I took art classes from then on until I graduated from college. So that's not really the story. The story is this. I was more fascinated with other art forms. More than anything else, I wanted to be a musician. Music just absolutely thrilled me. At church, I loved it when they would start singing and playing the organ or the piano, or a special guest would come on the guitar. And I would stand up in the seat and embarrassing my mother, trying to sing and saying, praise God. I was a little too much of myself, but I loved music. And I told my mother, I want to play the piano. So when she had to wait until I had a little reach of my hands. She had to wait until I was about 6 years old. She started me with piano lessons. I took piano for 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, I could still play chopsticks. That's how talented I was at piano. I had zero talent with piano. In the meantime, I went to a ballet recital, and I told my mother, oh, I want to be a ballerina. That's it. That's what I want to do. So mother enrolled me in ballet classes. Well, I kept turning on my ankle. And at first the teacher said, well, maybe she just needs to grow a little more. By the time I was 10 years old, the teacher said, Elma, this little girl wasn't meant to be a ballerina. God didn't give her that body. She has no strength in her ankles and her feet. And that's an absolute necessity for a ballerina. You can build muscles in the rest of your body, but you got to be born with strength in your ankles and your feet. And so, well, I accepted that. But then by that time, I wanted to sing. And actually, at that time, I had a lovely voice, and I thought, this is it. This is it. Mother enrolled me in singing classes. Well, by the time I was 13, I was starting to have severe cases of bronchitis, and bronchitis just destroyed my vocal cords. I'm not destroyed it. Obviously, I've got a voice now, but the finer tuning of my vocal cords, put it that way. So that was washed out. Then I thought, oh, I want to be a sculptor. Well, that didn't work out either. And I wanted to be, by the time I was getting ready to go. Now, all through these years, I want to remind you, I was taking painting classes. And my paintings were so good by the time I was 6 years old. They were published on the front page of the newspaper. I was considered a prodigy. And yet it never occurred to me, never occurred to me that painting was my art form. Never. No, I took it for granted. I wanted to do what everybody else inspired me to do. When I would see great people doing other great things, I would be inspired, and that's what I wanted to do. I wasn't even recognizing the talent I was born with. And you'll love this piece of irony. I was thinking about going to college in architecture. That was my last choice before I consented to be in painting. And I didn't win a scholarship in architecture. I did win a scholarship in painting. And so I said to Mother, I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to school in painting because I'm good at it. But I want to promise you this, and I'm promising to God Almighty, I will never, ever, ever paint a portrait. Is that a touch of irony? Well, actually, when I got back to painting after being derailed a little further along the line, my first painting was somebody commissioned me to paint a portrait. I needed the money really badly, so I took the commission, and the portrait was so good. Someone else saw it who shared it with Senator Ellender, who commissioned me to paint his portrait for the U.S. Capitol. He was the longest term senator in history. And I did. And that led to other national portraits. And by the end of 10 years, I was shaking this. I was saying, okay, all right. I am a painter. I'm good at it. I love it. But no more portraits. Absolutely no more portraits. And a number of years later, who comes along and commissions me to paint his portrait? Well, the point of my message, my friends, is that all of us have talents we're overlooking. And in some cases, we have talents we're denying because we don't want to do that. God gives us all of our talents. I could not cultivate any talent. I went out to the world on the passion of vanity to do. I was only able to do what was given to me to do. Now, Paul talks about this in Corinthians, where he's telling the congregations not to worry if some people can do things you can't do. He said, for some people, it is to be healers. For some people, it is to be ministers. And he goes on and on. He lists about 10 or 12 different vocations in life. And he said, it's not given to everybody to do everything. So the fact that you can't do everything other people do doesn't mean you haven't been given something special to do. And now I'm going to give you one last piece from my life, and then I turn it over to you. And that is, in my life as a counselor, I presented this thought train to many people. And someone will invariably say something like this, maybe not the exact words, but like this. Well, yeah, I can do that, okay. But how can I ever be famous doing that? And I'm literally shocked. Someone, this is a particular young man, I remember. He was able to fix the plumbing in his family home from the time he was 7 years old. He understood plumbing, and he could tell his dad what to do with the tools. He could have been a world-class person, but he waited too late. he didn't get the education he needed to really be that kind of engineer. But that's what he said to me. He said, well, yeah, I've got this skill as a plumber, but who wants to be a plumber? And you never get famous doing that. And I just shook my head in awe and wondered, like, you know, you only have to be famous in the eyes of two people. One is yourself with your self-esteem, and the other is one person whose life you changed. That's it. This world is full of vanity, and I think this is what Paul was trying to deal with when he talked to the church about people different having different abilities. The world has always been full of vanity about who does something best, and who does it best is the most famous person in the tribe. Andy Warhol had an interesting modern take on that concept, and I really like his sense of humor. Andy Warhol was a pop artist, basically a painter and a printmaker. Okay. But his thought on it is everybody will have 15 minutes of fame in their life. Well, I like that because it pertains to the top people as well. Because, you know, the best of the best that hit the top, they hit the top. And after you reach the top, you start fading real quick. It's just like boiling water. It hits the peak of boiling, and either it evaporates from overboiling or it settles that back down. You don't stay on the peak very long. And I think that's what he was talking about. Everybody can have 15 minutes of fame. He was addressing this need we have to be acknowledged and to be accomplished. And the reason I really wanted to bring this up is because this is one of the very important ways we lift ourselves up from the world. We find what our talent is. And we're not all the same, my friends. We're not. We are simply not all the same. We are all equal, and there's a big difference. We are all equal under the law, provided the law is dispensed with justice, which it sometimes is not. But we can pursue it until it is dispensed with justice. And we are all equal in the sight of God. We are all brothers and sisters of one humanity. We're all equal. We're just not all the same. We don't even have the same weaknesses. Some people are born without a leg. But they compensate in other abilities to have extreme accomplishments that we would not be motivated to have. So we all have different weaknesses. We all have different talents, but we're all equal. We're equal, but not the same. That's kind of a hard thing to grasp, but it's very essential for accomplishing what Yeshua set in motion and we're contributing to here. It's kind of like the old little exercise you would be asked to do to see if your coordinations were good, and that was to be to pat your head and rub circles on your tummy. And if you could do it, you were considered to have pretty good coordination skills. Well, to know that we're all equal, but we're not all the same, takes that kind of empathic coordination where we can celebrate everyone's skill. We can help everyone overcome their weakness. And through it all, there is not even the slightest element of judgment, because we're all brothers and sisters under God. And I think this is really what Yeshua meant when he was telling us to love one another, to love others as ourselves, because it is the solution for suffering. It is the solution for suffering. As long as we're helping others, nobody needs to dramatize their pain. They know somebody will be there. As long as we're celebrating accomplishments and we let that housekeeper know, I've never seen a house this clean. It's not just clean physically, it's clean spiritually. I mean, I feel like I've walked into a temple after you've been here. And I actually said that to a housekeeper I once had. I mean, I really meant that. I wasn't just elaborating with excitement to make her feel good. It was the way I truly felt. I've never seen it before. No one like her before. Anyway, now, I apologize that I took a long time for this introduction, but I really felt that we needed, at this point in time, a reorientation to what we're doing here. We are celebrating one another as children of God. We are bringing our needs into the forum for our community. But we're not accelerating them. We're bringing them in with compassion and understanding that for every need you have, there are thousands of others with the same need. And there's room, a lot of room, for celebrating the miracles God has given you, for uncovering the talents He's given you and you didn't know about, for letting all of us celebrate with you what you're going to achieve now, because you're finding a grand way forward. So, well, that's my thought for today. And now it's all yours. And Nancy is with us today. And Nancy, you do such a great job of this. We all missed you last week. We really did.
Aw, well, I missed you too. But I was at a wonderful birthday party for two little nuggets of love, a 3-year-old, 1-year-old granddaughters. So I brought everybody's love to the party. So thank you.
Good.
And gosh, and what a great message, Glenda. Really, really just, I think we're going to all listen to this one several times. And I keep thinking about the story you told about each brick, you know, like building the mansion. Every brick has value. And somebody may be putting their last brick, but, you know, it's just so good. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I remember that message, too. I'll have to do that again sometime.
You know, but it helps me about celebrating. Like, I can see some, you know, like a ballet or whatever, and it's just exciting to me that others, I'm a part of them, and it's just wonderful to celebrate other people's gifts and talents. And instead of feeling like I'm nothing because I can't do that, I just love your message. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, all of these things I tried and didn't succeed at were at the same time a celebration for me admiring what other people could do.
Absolutely.
Oh,
we have a lot of wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you, I actually met Mauricio Koff. I had Sunday breakfast with him in New York City. Of course, that was years and years ago. That's when I was there with a studio. So I had just made acquaintance with a Russian poet who actually was one of the key leaders in bringing the wall down that liberated the Soviet Union. I mean, his name was Joseph Brodsky. And he was another one. See, one of the other things I wanted to do was to be a poet. And I kept falling into prose for some reason. I didn't realize that later on I would actually be good at prose. But those are two gentlemen I had opportunities to meet, which were at the height of what I tried to do once upon a time, which shows that my admiration was acknowledged and fulfilled, even though I couldn't do it. And that's okay that I couldn't do it because, you know, they gave their life to doing what they did.
Right. Right. Well, that's so good. I know everybody's just really smiling over this beautiful message. So, and we have a lot of wonderful community members here today. Really exciting. So, shall I open a line, Glenda?
Absolutely. Let's get
okay.
going.
Okay. Let's see. Who do we have? Sarah, hi. Your line is open.
Aloha, beloved community. Thank you so much. And I want to say, so I'm right here in my father's hospital room, His name is Peter Sullivan. And so special blessings for his healing and the healing needed for all who are in hospitals and all who are working on them. And I just want to say an amazing miracle that happened for him. So he had fallen in the snow on Tuesday and was in the snow alone, not being able to get up for several hours. And a snowplow guy driving by who knows my dad, he drove by his house and he was called. He had an intuition that something was off. Even though my dad's like behind, you couldn't even see his house in the woods. This man, I want to ask for special blessings for this angel. His name is Bart. He knew to stop and he went in. He followed that calling, found my dad on the ground, and he has saved his fingers for sure and probably his life. And so miracles, thank you, and calling in blessings for all. Yes.
Oh, wow. What a gift. And you know, my friends, I think a lot of you have that gift. That's a gift well worth looking at and cultivating.
Yes.
It really is.
May we all, yes, listening to our angels and how they move us, being awake
Absolutely.
And aware and present.
Yes. Oh, well, God bless your dad, and God bless his rescuer. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you all. Love you
Amen.
All.
Amen.
All right, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so glad you shared that with us. We have, let's see, is it a Carolyn? Your line is open?
Caroline.
Yes, Caroline.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I really liked what you said about releasing suffering. And I wanted to add a blessing for my family, my father who has mild cognitive impairment, my children, and anyone and everyone who is trying to release suffering in knowing how to do that and support for that process and what it looks like.
Amen. Now, I think we're going to see a lot more of this because our generation, or my generation, is living longer. Thank you, God, for that. We are blessed that we are able to be here, be productive and enjoy life longer, but at the same time, we're going to need a lot of support for the various systems of our body. And mental decline is a most annoying one. It doesn't necessarily come with physical pain, but it comes with many other levels of annoyance and pain. And I really pray daily for the understanding and the science of this to accelerate along with us so that living longer can mean something more than just hanging on. To live with joy, to live with full faculty, and to live with a true engagement with life is such a blessing. And not just for the one going through it, but for their family who loves them. A family that wants to remember them and be with them the way they have been for all their life together. It's one of the great gifts I think we can actually ask for our succeeding generation. Yeah. So thank you, Caroline. Thank you. And my prayers are with
your
family.
Thank you.
And everyone who is facing this with one person or another.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think there's a lot of us dealing with that with family members. So that's a good one, Carolyn. Really a good blessing.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Carolyn? Are we feeling complete and full?
Yep. That's all for now. Thank you.
You bet.
You're welcome. God bless you, Carolyn.
Aria.
Hi.
Welcome. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. Yes, I've been living with pain. I don't like to say in pain because it's not consuming me. But
I understand the difference.
Yes, and
there
is
a difference.
It is, and the same with the pain and the suffering, as you were saying, Glenda.
That's right.
So I'm very, very interesting because I wrote this down this morning. Oh, beloved Yeshua, would you lift me up, perhaps a little boost, to move through pain's illusions, to ease and grace, a new timeline of peace, love, and joy. I am ready to create this.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
I mean, it just comes out when I let it, you know, and it's so,
yeah.
It's always present, you know, his presence. I give thanks and the community, you know, and I feel better when I sleep. So that would be an important prayer because it makes me feel a lot better in the physical.
Absolutely. Sleep is very, very important. It's when our body refreshes itself.
No,
it cleans itself, actually. It runs fluid, more fluid than during the day. When you're sleeping, you will run about 3 times the amount of fluid through your body, using it over and over, recycling the same fluid. If you've ever wondered why you cannot go 8 hours in a day without visiting the restroom.
Yes.
But at night, you can sleep 8 hours without waking up. Of course, that's the first place you want to go when you do wake up. But nevertheless, you slept 8 hours without needing to. That's when you're younger. I know that we develop problems as we get older that roust us up. But the reason, at least during those times when we can actually sleep 8 hours, the reason you don't need to is because our body is recycling water. It's not releasing it into the bladder. It just keeps, it goes through the kidneys and back into the blood. And it goes through the brain about 3 times.
Wow.
Most people don't know that.
I didn't know
that. It goes through the heart several times. It goes through, it's flushing the arteries out. This is one of this is one of many reasons why you really, really need to do your best to give yourself 8 hours of sleep. No matter how worried you are or stressed you are, staying up is not going to solve the problem nearly as well.
The bladder wakes me up every night, and then I can't get back to sleep. I'm up like 3:30, so... That's the big one. And we're going to Tucson just for a few days to see my daughter for her birthday celebration, just us and her. And I ask for blessings on that and that my physical body will cooperate to the best that it can with sleep.
Yes. My prayers are with you.
Thank you. Blessings for that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you, Glenda.
Okay, one word I can say to everybody is, just get on with living. I'm really serious. Just get on with living. I'm not going to go into any extended story on this because most people on this call have heard it several times about the spinal pain I was in last year. Went to try physical therapy, one doctor after another after another. And finally, I just said, look, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm getting on with my life. Okay. If I have to deal with pain, I'm going to sit it over in the side chair. I'm doing my life. That's what got rid of my pain.
Wow.
Well, a couple of miracles were involved. But the thing is, I didn't make room for a miracle until I put the pain on a side chair. I wasn't going to allow it to command my life.
Right. Right.
That's so the difference.
Helpful.
And
yeah,
it's,
I have the spine pain too, so I know.
Yeah, and in the early stages of pain, we are actually literally in shock. We're in shock, and we can't do anything to push it aside. But get your focus together, get your peace surrounding you. get your goals intent. Focus on what's really important to you. Get your life back. And you will find that pain will take a back seat in your life. It may not go away right away, but it will. The suffering will be diminished. And you're making room for solutions. And, you know, I've talked about receiving so many times in our blessing call. This is another example of making room for receiving. When we're in really, really heavy pain, about the only thing that's going to work is rest and chemical medication, or for some people it's acupuncture, but and then there are other types of physical therapy, but it comes down to intervention. In other words, somebody or some therapy has to intervene on your behalf, whether it's Ayurvedic or chemical. It intervenes on your behalf, and then you rest. And that's about all you can do in the early stages of pain. But as you can find space for yourself again, for your life again, you can find space for miracles to happen. You can find space for the perfection in which you were created to take your life over again.
Wow.
And the encroachment of pain can subside a little bit. And it won't all subside at once, but like Nancy was talking about, a brick a day will do it.
Right. So helpful. That's such good advice. And I've had many years of it, but I am still, I think your advice is wonderful, and I thank you for it. I really love you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, well, we love you too. And we're going to keep loving you, but we're going to take our next caller.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye, Aria. Thank you so much. Glenda, we have Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. I just wanted to say and ask for a blessing for you, Glenda, as I believe it's your birthday next Saturday, and I wanted Yeshua to bless you in this coming week leading up to your birthday.
We shower you
with everything possible for your life, and having a wonderful birthday week celebration up until next Saturday, when the actual day is, I believe. Just the biggest blessing ever for you, with gratitude and all the thanks from the bottom of my heart for everything you do.
Oh, thank you so much. That was so sweet of you. That'll be the first candle on my birthday cake.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Love you. Is there
Love
a
you
blessing
too.
For you? A blessing for you?
A blessing for me for some support with what I'm going through. Yeshua knows what it is now, and I'm getting stronger, and I just if he could keep his arms around me as I keep the healing process going. Thank you.
Oh, he has his arms around
yes.
you right now.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. We have a wonderful brother.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for reminding us all that Glenda's birthday's next Saturday. That's awesome. So we'll all be thinking of you, Glenda. You know that. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, all of you are my blessing. You, all of you are my blessing. You really are.
Well,
hello.
Well, we have a wireless caller. I don't have a name. Area code 406.
Joanna?
Hi, Joanna.
Yes, I'm not wireless, but yes, I'm here. And happy birthday
okay.
from me, too.
They probably just couldn't come up with any better caller ID than that. So, welcome.
Yeah, this isn't wireless. So, basically, I have a client named Ann Harwood who is suffering from like 6 months from long COVID, and it's debilitating. And she is just, she gets a little better, and then it goes back, and it's mostly she can barely stand up, and dizzy and nauseous, and just doesn't have a quality of life, and is very discouraged. And so I would ask for prayers for her. And thank you so much for that.
Okay. Yes, my heart goes out to her. You know, I've seen so many people just debilitated for months, and now a couple of years.
Mm. Yes.
Well, my heart is with her, and I know that Yeshua has his arms around her.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a coincidence you brought up sleep. Maybe that's a message for your friend Anne, because that deep sleep and that rest is so critical for healing, and I think maybe that's something that would be really good for her to, remember.
Any type
of healing. That's right. Yeah, that's one of the hardest things she has, is she just can't get good sleep at all. And anxiety, wakes her up.
Of course.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes. Well, I think that's something she really should take into consideration and get some help, whether it's from naturopathic help, Ayurvedic help.
Yeah.
There's so many different healing therapies that actually address sleep. And I don't think allopathic medicine has a very good solution for it, although they can describe some medicines maybe on the short term that help you get past the resistance, but long term it's not going to provide you with the answer.
Well, that's exactly what she's dealing with. A lot of people that are helping her, but they don't understand long COVID, and it's not enough. And I work with it, but it's just taking a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your compassion with that, too, and all of you that are sending the prayers.
We are indeed.
Absolutely, you're so welcome, Joanna. Right, Joanna? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Joanna. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you for answering. Yeah.
All right, Glenda. We have Christopher. Your line is open. Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Oh, my gosh.
Hello,
Glenda, first of all, hi there. Glenda, first of all, I just got to say, sometimes you just totally nail it. It's always good. But today was like, are you serious? Like, what you were sharing about your process growing up, being an artist and being so fascinated by all the different mediums and thinking you were that and you were that. I have that. That's me. And I do. I just relate to it so much. It made me laugh out loud, and how we resist the things that are our gifts. But there's something so beautiful, like you said, about how going down that road and trying to be that artist, that medium, teaches you so much respect for the mastery of other people. And
absolutely.
Then there's that humility that comes when you realize the humility, like I can't actually
like,
do
well,
that.
But that's not me. Yeah.
But I really appreciate you even more now because I tried,
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to thank you for that and just celebrate the beauty of that message. And like Nancy said, I'm definitely going to re-listen to it. It's something
good.
I need to hear right now. So,
okay, good.
And I called in with the celebration of my own, but I also, before I forget, I wanted to say to the woman who spoke before, I had long COVID, I couldn't sleep at night. I had anxiety attacks. It was exacerbated by the COVID, and then it exacerbated and it made it hard to heal. And I found some things that really worked for me that were, I did a lot of research and talked to people in the know, in the naturopathic sense. So I just wanted to mention a few things that I brought together, like supplements that actually took it away quickly. It went on for months, and when I started to take this combination of things, it went away pretty quickly. And that was, so I think these are good things to have on hand because they're preventative and they can also help. So we've talked about this on the call before. Quercetin, which you've mentioned, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, and zinc together. Okay,
right.
Those two. Then the NAC, which is N, N-A-C, N-acetylcysteine, which I think a lot of people know about these things. But those three together, there's another one called artemisinin, and then vitamin A. When I took those together in addition to my normal vitamin C, vitamin D, so forth, it went away like almost overnight.
Wow.
And so, I don't know. And, you know, maybe one or a combination of those will help your friend, the woman who was speaking, if she's not already taking them. I took all kinds of herbal things. I'm an herbal, very much a, like for many years, studied herbs. And so I was doing herbal, and then I learned about these other supplements that I had never heard of, like NAC, for example, or artemisinin and vitamin A, like never even thought about it. And within a few days, it was gone. The symptoms, I mean,
Thank you for that.
The anxiety. Yeah. It took a little while for the anxiety and the sleeplessness to go away. But I noticed the results right away. So I just wanted to mention that for her sake.
I
also
love that kind of contribution. I really do, Christopher. You know, this may be a changing point for her. And, you know, I spoke, well, a lot of the minerals and supplements and I don't know. I guess quercetin and NAC are actually chemical, but they're nature's chemicals. They're not artificially generated chemicals. But synergistically, they become something more than they are independently. And so hearing about recipes like that really can help people. I've mentioned the quercetin and zinc before because it's a good example. I have heard for years, got a cold, take zinc. Okay, I did it, and I said, well, I don't know what the big hoopla is about zinc. It doesn't do anything to me. Then someone said, you got to take it with quercetin. Next day, my cold was gone.
Yes.
And I started taking it ever since I started having even the slightest symptom of a little sore throat or a cold or runny nose or anything like that. It was all gone. And I was going, holy cow! You know, the synergy between supplements, let's just call them supplements because if I say chemical, that can be misinterpreted. Most of them are actually chemical, but they're natural. They're coming from the earth or the plant kingdom or something that is God-created. Let's put it that way. Okay. But the combination, the recipe, is what turns it into cheesecake.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Yes. And that was so amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Just that was so amazing to me. You know, I felt like I had to be a sleuth. I had to go and really investigate. I had to think about it from an herbal perspective and then also start talking to other people who had knowledge about these supplements or these chemicals and the combinations and then feel my body. And while I'm standing in the store, this woman's telling me about 14 different possibilities that might work and standing there kind of feeling them in my hands and saying, this one, and this one, I'm taking all of those. And it was the combination.
That's where your intuition is really providing guidance for you. So that's,
yeah,
that is much to your credit. And keep using that. That's most definitely a gift that you have, Christopher. And, you know, I don't mean to cut your call, but we have three other people waiting to talk, and we've only got six
go
minutes left to go. Okay.
Thank you so much,
we love
Christopher.
Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. Love you so much.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, we have three more callers. That was a great contribution, too. So, and there is a good article, just real quick, in the Epic Times this week, Joanna, on long-term COVID and ivermectin and all of those things, NAC. So you might just go to the Epic Times online and look that one up. It's actually really good. So, but here
okay.
we've got, let's see, Candace. Hi.
Hi. Yes. I was going to say, almost on every call for a long time, I've wanted to come and ask for a blessing for myself, but I just didn't know quite how to say it. And today, Linda, when you were talking about release from suffering and spiritual pain, it kind of helped me form into words. You guys maybe know that I lost my son to suicide in 2020, and it's almost every day it takes me to my knees, and I would just like a blessing for a release from suffering. And like you said, Glenda, maybe I think I'm in some spiritual pain, and I don't know what or where else to go. So, and maybe I need to just recover from my need to suffer, like you said earlier. It seems like I try to keep on keeping on and try to do for myself what I feel will help. So that would be the blessing I ask for myself. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry. I remember you told us about that, and I'm so sorry that it had slipped my mind. But I think of you as being such a strong, whole and creative person, you know. So I'm going to give you those thoughts back about you. You really are a person who cares about other people. And you're probably just struggling with the need to understand why did this happen to someone you love so much. And
okay.
You haven't gotten that understanding yet. So, but in my experience, I will give you the benefit of some of my experiences. I find that I could take that pathway also. I could take a pathway. I suffered a lot in the year before Larry passed away. I suffered a lot because, and I mean real suffering, because I knew it didn't have to be this way. Larry was a very spiritually evolved person, mentally brilliant. And he resisted therapy. He just allowed himself to become a vegetable and then just fade out and go. And I could not understand. And it was very, very hard to let go for that reason. But when I did let go, something I realized was that I didn't need to understand. That was his choice. Probably he felt that his life, his productive life, was over. He was such a productive man. He couldn't have imagined hanging on after his productive capability was gone. I'm sure he chose what happened. It wasn't my choice, so I didn't have to worry about it. I let go, and the answers started coming in. In fact, I got more answers after I let go. You know, I have never found that suffering brings a blessing, Candace. So all the things you need to know, all the healing you need, all the happiness you need to recover will come back to you much faster and more deeply if you just let go of the suffering. It's not going to do you any good.
Okay.
And I can tell you, as a person who's been through an experience, you know, there's a lot of actually what some people call subtle suicide. Larry didn't have to go. He let himself go. A lot of people drink himself to the grave.
They misuse drugs to the grave. There's a lot of ways of subtle suicide, lots and lots of ways, because people are tired of being here. They're tired of the problem. They've lost their reason for coming, and maybe they never had the pleasure of discovering what their talent really was. Or I can't really say that about Larry, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. There, you cannot be responsible for someone else's state of being. And I know we've got two people left, but I'm going to take a little extra time, only 2 minutes, Danny, Nancy, okay, to say something that is universally important for all of us to learn. So often we think that when we have a child with a problem, or we make a friend with someone we really care about, but they've got a problem, we think we can change them. And not that we're manipulating. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm talking about genuine. We can help them see a brighter path. We can help them see sunlight on the horizon. We can change them to a better place of being with more opportunities. And then we fail. We feel like a failure when that doesn't happen. Well, one thing Yeshua has taught me is that you can't change anyone. You can't change anyone. What you can do is offer them a better experience. And then they can change themselves if they so choose. But you have to accept their choices. And he said to me, I had to accept a lot of choices people presented to me where they were not interested in what I came to teach. People who were not interested in having a miracle, I let them walk on down the street. I had to let go of people who were not ready to change because they had to change themselves, which is why I always ask a person, before I created a miracle for them, were you ready? Are you ready? Do you have the faith? Because I wanted to know that they were in charge of the change. When I died on the cross and the thief beside me saw me, he recognized who I was and he changed himself. I didn't change him. He saw who I was. He observed my behavior in death. He observed my forgiveness in death. He saw a better way of being, and he changed himself, to which I replied, you will be with me today in paradise. We never know, everybody, we never know how living an exemplary life or just sharing your life with someone else will cause them to change themselves. But I want to emphasize the word change themselves. Don't think it's your job to change them. It's not. Even Yeshua would not do it. And this is why in the scriptures, in the teaching of Yeshua, in the commandments of God, you must ask. God knows what you need. Why must you ask? Because he wants you to get humble on your knees? No, he wants to know that you're ready to change yourself. He cannot change you. He will not change you. He will provide everything you need to change yourself. And, okay, that's a very important point for both recovering from suffering as well as not suffering in the first place, as well as receiving the greater blessings of life. You must be willing to change yourself.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Glendon. Thank you, everyone.
We love you, Candace. We love you. And I owe you a phone call. We've got something to talk about, but we're not going on that on this call. Okay, dear.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Candace.
Yes,
we do. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Candace, for sharing. That's so brave. We have, is this Francesca? Hi.
It's Francesca. Hi, Nancy. Hello, Glenda.
Hi.
Candace.
Hello.
Hello. Nice to hear your voices. Candace, I just want to say I'm going to keep you in my prayers, as I'm sure is everyone else on this call. And I just want to let you know that, you know, I could just feel where you're coming from, and I just want to just acknowledge it. So thank you for being so vulnerable to share such a deep thing. So thank you. And I'm just wanted to ask for just a blessing for my situation where I work, where people are in a lot of conflict, and just for continued prayers and blessings for that, and just add my blessings and thanks to you, Glenda. So thank you.
You're welcome. And God bless you, Francesca. We know that we know you're asking and you will receive.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thanks so much, Francesca. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have our last caller, Glenda. Linda, I believe it's Linda, right?
Yeah, it's Linda.
It is. Last one from way down under. Hello, everybody.
That's
and, I often lately haven't, unfortunately, been able to catch the call because it is a Monday, which is normally a work day, but we have a holiday here today. So I'm live, and I'm so blessed to be able to listen to this all. And and thank you, everyone, for sharing and bringing your vulnerability and allowing us all to gain from that. And then, Glenda, what comes out from you, you know, from obviously Yeshua, just unbelievable. I mean, the wealth of just love and information here and help. And so God bless you. God bless all the community, of course. But, Glenda, this is just the soft place to fall. I so look forward to, you know, when I hear the messages or connect, and this is just brings me so much. So thank you. I brings it all to us. Just a couple quick things. I know we're at the last, we're trying to wrap up. Blessings to an old friend who just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so I'm sure she's going through a pretty rough time. So that she can find the help and the support and God's grace as she, you know, has to go through what she does at the moment. So also everybody in the call that ever even thinks of what's happening in their own lives or expresses it, that last week, I think it was last week or the week before, a lovely lady, I particularly remember Rhonda, that was going through quite a bit. So I've been keeping you all in prayers around that. Thanksgiving for me as I celebrate a new opportunity. And when God opens the doors, he opens the doors. I can just tell you all that, like the way that this happened, the way it occurred, everything.
Wow.
Just, you know, I hardly had to do anything. And my seat's not even going to be cold. Another friend just finished a job up and was able to, you know, come in and take my place without a normal 8-week notice, and just the blessings. And I've been praying for so long for guidance of God's will, or doing something that I felt contributed, or, you know, I just never really felt what are my talents. I see people like you, Glenda, that can paint, or singers, or just these creative people, and I've just, you know, never really been sure what my gift is. But if I can bring anything to this role and you know, help others, then I'm most grateful to God with that. So I just want to bless you all and thank you and, you know, keep supporting us and God bless.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I can only imagine that your next opportunity is really wonderful, because I can hear it in your voice. So congratulations. You most certainly deserve it. Really, really put yourself out there, dedicated yourself, and you're being lifted up, and I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you. And one last thing I will go, sorry, it just came to mind. And I don't know if it helps others, but Glenda, especially your painting, Lamb and the Lion, I know that at times when I feel things are too much, I mean, obviously sitting in front of that with Yeshua, but sometimes what I do is a small little thing where I just try to imagine myself as that lamb. I grew up on a farm with lambs. They are so joyous. But when I look at that lamb, I just see that lamb is so relaxed. That lamb is so loved. That lamb,
oh, yeah.
There could be wolves, you know, knocking at the door, and that lamb is just so comforted. So that's my place I go sometimes when I just feel that, you know, things are closing in a bit much. And anyway, thought I'd share that.
Oh, me too. Me too. And, you know, a lot of other people feel that way too. That lamb was something. He was something else, I'm telling you. And that really is the way he looks. So, yeah, he's a messenger in his own right. So,
yeah.
All right, my dear. Well, it's so good to talk to you. And what time of day is
Thank
it
you.
There?
I think we're probably about 11 a.m. in the morning. I haven't got the clock in front of me, but, yeah, about 11 a.m. I think it is.
Okay, good. So you're getting ready for lunch, and we're getting ready for dinner.
Yeah.
but a day later. So
that's right.
Wonderful. The elasticity of time and space gets demonstrated once more. All right. Well, we are going to go into our new cycle where we can just be quiet in our own heart, our soul, our mind. Just be with yourself and with God. Even those you love, let them just be who they are, where they are. You be you. You be you. This is your time to just be. It is in your being that you will open the gates to let a new day in, to let a new opportunity in, a blessing, that you will make changes with your life. You have to be in a place that is just you to be able to make these vital changes, decisions, commitments, convictions, and strengths of will that you need to carry your life to a higher level and to be above the many problems that could pull you down into the world. So this is your time. This is your moment. Take a deep breath, a really deep breath. Expand your lungs. Push your diaphragm down all the way. And then release it just like you were taking a bath with air. You just washed away debris. And now take another deep, deep breath. And then release it. Oh, okay. That's good. Now, shake your arms out, your legs. Turn your head, nod your head up and down. Stretch your back. A good way to do that is to lean forward. If you're sitting, you lean forward and then back. If you're standing, you bend over a little bit, and then you bend to one side, and then another side, and then back a little bit. Don't stress yourself, just enough to get a little movement. Create a V-shape with your legs to balance yourself, and then rotate your shoulders and your torso around, okay, just to get that free-flowing movement back that you might have lost by just sitting for an hour or laying down for an hour, whatever position you might have been in. So it's all good, but we need to open flows for energy to move through you. The blessing will come as an energetic flow, but it's not like a workout in the gym. It's not like talking. It's not a vibe you can feel with your body. You might. There are some who do. But it's more something that feels you. It's here to feel you and embrace you, that you may be restored in a more perfect state of your being. And it will flow from heaven. By that I mean from higher spaces of perfect existence, through your body, moving down the right side of your body into the earth. The earth will receive it, recycle it. Whatever was carried with it into the earth will be recycled and then brought back up through the left side of your body. But it will swirl around your heart, and that is where it will absorb the blessings of Christ for you that will remain in your heart for you to tap into in the hours and days and weeks ahead. So just allow that flow to happen. That's all we want right now, is just to allow that flow to happen. In order to make that flow a little more graceful for you, so that you can be mindful but also relaxed, I've brought to our community a four square breath that was actually taught to me by Yeshua. And it was his way of getting me to control my breath the way life works, so that my very breathing is an act of mastery in life. And it's very simple. It is to the count of four, but you don't want to be on my count of four. You need to be on your count of four. Some people are slower, some are faster. And not only that, some people might, it's like a drummer. Some might be like 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Or 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, we all have our own rhythms. We all have our own timing. And I just encourage you to use your timing, your rhythm, and allow yourself to just master this breath. And it starts with an out-breath, which is you giving into life. For you are, the first step you have to make in order to receive is you've got to pour a little bit of lemonade out of the glass so that you can have another serving. It's simple. Or let's just say water. You've got a glass of water. How are you going to get more water? You got to pour a little bit water. Water a plant. Share a drink with the earth. Give a little. Okay, so you're going to give your outpouring of breath into life. And then you're going to wait a second or several seconds as you allow it to be received. And that's to your count of four. Whatever it is, give time for your gift to be received. Give time for your flower to absorb the water. You see? Okay, now it's your turn to receive. There's room to receive. You've emptied yourself. Now you're going to receive. And you will receive to the count of four. Just count it for yourself as you are. And then you're going to give yourself time to receive. Because you're not sure where that breath needs to go. You're not sure where that energy needs to go. Does it need to go to your body, your soul, your heart? Does it need to go to your family, someone you care about? Let it go where it needs to go. And then you do it over and over again during the time that we are conducting the blessing for you. And let it flow with your breath. This allows you to give, allow the offering to be received, then you receive, and you receive. Okay. I will give my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, and brother to us all, we ask that you receive our prayers, that you hear them, that you hear all of our requests, all of our needs. We open ourselves with asking that we may receive. We respect you with asking that you may give. We ask with love. We receive with love. And we would give with love. That all of your blessings may be in the spirit of love, to nurture us always in that spirit, knowing that love has many forms. And love is really all that is when you get right down to it. Help us to remember that as we live our life, that we may relieve our suffering. Although there are times when pain happens and pain is inevitable, we ask to be lifted above what we think is necessary for suffering. We ask for help for those who are in immediate and serious pain due to some infliction of life, whether it's hunger, separation, conflict, loss of a loved one, or great physical pain. We ask for your caring touch, your compassion, that you have suffered for us. You lifted our suffering, and we thank you. We know that, and we know that we do not have to continue announcing it. For as we ask, you shall give. And we ask for all of our brothers and sisters, most especially the ones who know not to ask. They know not, but we ask for them. And we carry the responsibility of asking. Let it be forever and always the will of God running through us, that even in our challenges, we are moving to a higher place of understanding and a greater expansion of our ability to love. Taking you as our great example, our model, to pattern our life after. In your name we ask all of these things. Amen. Blessing givers, will you please join me now? Stand, and we shall conduct the blessing together. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to go and rest. I mean, lie down and rest so that you won't be thinking. Don't carry any thoughts, not even a prayer, into what will happen now. Let your life be a blank slate upon which the will of God can be written. Much love to you. The love of Christ. The love of God. The grace of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and in your life. I look forward to being with you next week. And bye-bye for now.